The Wronged Daughter by Mary Wood, read by Becky Hindley. Part 1. Blackburn and London, 1920-21. Mags and Harold. Uncertainties mar happiness. Chapter 1. Mags held on to the back of the chair and stared across at the doctor. What he was saying didn't seem possible. Not my dear mother. No. Mother has always been strong. I'm sorry, but there's only tender, loving care that can be given to ease her passing. I can arrange for a nurse to come and stay. She will administer oxygen when needed, and the medication that I shall prescribe. But I'm afraid Belinda's weak heart is rapidly failing her. Weak heart? When did Mother ever have a weak heart? As Mags watched her father shake the doctor's hand, the thought rushed through her that he had changed too. His back was no longer ramrod straight, and his hair, which had been greying at the temples, was now almost white. Why hadn't she ever noticed how heavily he leaned on his stick? Suddenly, the part of her world that had always felt safe was crumbling. Life here in her beloved Blackburn was lived at a slow pace, even if for the most part she was kept busy running the mill. Always she was surrounded by familiar things and by people she'd grown up with. Now a big part of that, her family life, was being threatened. Margaret, the doctor is leaving. Where are your manners? No, Herbert, don't admonish her. Margaret has had a shock. You should have told her about her mother's condition. I counseled both you and Belinda many times over the years to do so. I'm sorry, Margaret. I should have insisted that you were told and were therefore prepared for the fact that what is happening now has always been inevitable. Your mother has had a heart condition for a long time. It has been like an unexploded bomb. Anything could have triggered it to fail, and at any time. I'm sorry. Truly sorry. But she only has days left to live. Mags shook her head. This wasn't happening. How could she have missed the signs? Yes, Mother was frequently breathless and her skin and lips often had a blue tinge, but she had said it was an asthmatic condition and was under control. Sit down, Margaret. Let yourself absorb this terrible news. Are you feeling unwell yourself? You seem to have lost a lot of weight when you could ill afford to lose any. Backing onto the chair behind her, Mags tried to control the shaking of her limbs. You've never spoken of the horrors you must have witnessed in Belgium. I thought you had recovered from them, but something has knocked you back. At the winter ball, with your nice young man by your side, Harold, that's his name, isn't it? Mags nodded. You seemed your old self. But since returning from your stay at his home, I have seen a change in you each time I have visited your mother. Something had indeed knocked Mags back. Something that gave her nightmares. Memories flooded her mind. The war, meeting and forming a strong relationship with the lovely Flora and Ella as they set out, three young girls full of courage and yet needing each other's support. Then learning how Flora was rejected by her family and Ella abandoned by hers, and seeing Flora's happiness as her brother Harold had begun to show her a little affection, and how this had led to Mags meeting Harold herself and being swept off her feet by him. But then, the awful events that led to the image that haunted Mags. Seeing Harold and Flora's mother sprawled on the floor, her head smashed on the fender. Without her wanting it to happen, Mags's bottom lip quivered and stinging tears begged to be released. She looked up into Dr. Lang's kindly face. His words had triggered the memories. And as she let in the full horror of what had happened, other wounds opened. Images of her wartime experience flashed before her. The sweating face of the German soldier as he raped her. She could still hear his triumphant grunting and the cheering of his fellow soldiers as they egged him on. But above their chants, the screams of Flaws. Dear Flaws, as she fought against another of the lusting soldiers. How can I ever recover from that? Or from the constant stream of faces of wounded and dying men, who seemed to be drowning in a sea of blood. Margaret,